We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome to the beautiful Holiday Distillery up here in Weston, Missouri. We are going to do a little 2022 NFL draft recap for the Kansas City Chiefs, as if the hours upon hours of content that we've already been putting out over the past few days wasn't enough. We're going to go over the next 40, 45 minutes, go through the 10 draft picks that have been added to the Chiefs roster based on this. And I've got my guy Kent Swanson up here, and we have got some nice drinks that have been made thanks to the brand new, coming out on May 21st, the Ben Holiday Bourbon. That is another reason that we are up here at Holiday Distillery. They are taking care of us. They've been taking care of us since the moment we launched KC Sports Network. We appreciate everything for them. And Kent, I know you appreciate a good bourbon.
I do appreciate a good bourbon, and I appreciate these two cocktails. So you've got the Bourbon Smash. Mm. It's a cinnamon, honey, simple syrup, lemon juice, bourbon, mint, and it's the Ben Holiday bourbon, obviously. I got an old-fashioned with a little couple bitters, a little simple syrup made out of brown sugar, and the Ben Holiday bourbon. And I'm just telling you, it's absolutely delicious. I can't wait for everybody else to get a chance to try this this bourbon, because, yeah, it's so good. Every time we've had it, you know, 6 months ago, got a little sample of it as well. Every time. It's one of the best cocktails I've had every time I come out here.
Yeah, they've been waiting for years. I think it's 7 years. We've taken the tour several times where they go through the whole process of how they make the bourbon. The fact that all of it is made from right around here. It's bottled, bonded. Like, this is a Kansas City bourbon for Kansas City people. It's a worldwide company, but the fact that it's based here in Kansas City and they have the grounds like they do here, if you haven't made it up, I strongly recommend coming up, doing the tour, hanging out down here at the event center. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I can't imagine... Like, honestly, I can't imagine being in a better place to kind of just celebrate this weekend and all the work that we've done. Like, it's just so peaceful out here. We got birds chirping. We're sitting outside in this little patio area. You know, you got a big bonded warehouse right behind us where all the bourbon's being stored. I mean, come on. This is so cool.
You know what's going to make this even cooler?
What,
going through the 10 draft picks that the Chiefs picked up? Because this draft, we've been saying, and we were leading up to this draft saying that this was going to be one of the defining drafts of not only Brett Veach's tenure, but of Patrick Mahomes, like, going through the prime of his career. They needed to get and replenish the cupboards with some of the moves they made, and a lot it made about Tyreek Hill and that picking up new assets, and they needed to nail this draft. And granted, these guys haven't stepped on the field yet, but based on all the research and everything that you guys have done, if anybody has been watching the draft coverage, they absolutely nailed this draft.
We've spent a lot of time talking about a lot of the guys that are in this draft class over the last 2 months. There's a lot of receipts we'll probably be retweeting so you guys can see some of our analysis over the course of the last couple months, because a lot of the players that the Chiefs selected, high quality. You know, look, the reality is not every one of these players is going to pan out. I mean, that's just the reality of the NFL draft. I mean, even if you look at some of the most historical draft classes in the history of the NFL, like the 2017 Saints, even a few of those players didn't pan out the way they anticipated. But I think the Chiefs have given themselves phenomenal swings across the board on some really unique talents, some players with some good ability, the kind of profiles that you want to bet on, the kind of players you want to bet on, and by all indications, the kind of people you want to bet on too. Yep. I think there's a lot to be excited about. We'll get into the details of all these guys, but I think there's a lot of reason for optimism here in Kansas City because of the draft prospects the Chiefs were able to secure over the course of the last 3 days.
I get excited, and you guys have kind of saw it behind the scenes, of building a physical, nasty defense full of, we don't say headhunters, but guys that love being physical and love setting a tone. You talk about energy givers. Coach Reed talks about it all the time. But you've got three of the first four picks or whatever were energy givers and tone setters at each level of the Chiefs defense. So let's get into this, and we're going to go through the 10 draft picks for the Chiefs and kind of how they fit into the Chiefs roster as it's constructed right now. Now, this could change even within the next week. Some of those veteran guys that have not signed that were probably waiting until after the draft, some of them might be waiting until after OTAs, yeah. And some of those veterans who don't want to necessarily participate in some of the offseason activities. So there still could be some pieces that are added to this Chiefs roster. But as we stand here right now, let's start with the Chiefs' first pick, who they traded up for to number 24, and that is Washington cornerback Trent McDuffie. And Kent, when you look at the Chiefs' cornerback room right now, we know that they lost Charvarius Ward over this offseason, but they were able to bring in and a talent like this to an already talented room full of young players that you guys made a point throughout the offseason that this was an area that they haven't put a lot of resources into throughout the years, but a really, really good player.
Yeah, they made a big, aggressive movement. And if you've heard us talk in the last couple of weeks, we've kind of been predicting them making a bigger investment than they ever have at the cornerback position. There's some necessity there because of Charvarius Ward's absence. And the Chiefs just got cornerback one. I genuinely think they just got cornerback one in the draft. And I think they were a little bit surprised that he was there. I mean, I think they were a little bit, you kind of hear Brett Veach listening to his press conference talking about, going up and getting Trent McDuffie. They weren't anticipating this opportunity. And they got a guy that I genuinely think steps in from day one and is the best cornerback on this football team, a guy that's going to play a lot of snaps very quickly. Yeah, obviously there's probably going to be some, some learning curves here and there. There's going to be some moments, some rookie moments. But, I mean, this guy's wired the right way. He's got unique physical abilities, and there's a lot of times he's the best player on that Washington football team when you're watching the tape. So I think the Chiefs got a guy that could potentially be the cornerback one for the future and very quickly.
Yeah, and when you look at the Chiefs cornerback room right now, bringing this up, you've got Rashad Fenton, Josh Williams, who we'll get to here in a little bit. They just added Luke Barku. They've got Legarius Sneed, DeAndre Baker, DiCaprio Boodle, Brandon Dandridge, and then Jalen Watson, another defensive back that's brought into this room. So Trent McDuffie, and I had a chance to talk with Carmen Vitale of the Draft Network leading into this draft, and unprompted, she said that maybe she was foreshadowing something and she knew that the Chiefs liked Trent McDuffie a lot, but said that it was her number one favorite player in this draft because of the time that she got to spend with him. I think she brought it up at the NFL Combine. She got a chance to talk with him and get to know him a little bit with what she's doing now at the Draft Network. And for somebody that had spent the last couple of months studying all these draft players, of all the players she could have mentioned 4 days before the draft, that was her favorite, and she's, a Bucks fan, worked for the Bucks for 6 years, she wanted Trent McDuffie to be there, and she said there's no way he's going to make it to 27, let alone pass the top 15.
Well, just well-spoken, thoughtful responses. You could kind of hear him talking to the KC media, and, I think the football character speaks for itself when you watch him play the game of football. Frees up Legarius Sneed a little bit, too. Maybe he can operate along the interior a little bit more in the slot, where he's had a lot of success. But I think, when the Chiefs are in base, it's going to be Sneed and McDuffie. Those two guys are going to be starting week one. I genuinely think that, and it kind of, like I said, it can free Legarius Sneed up a little bit more to play in the slot.
Yeah, and the one thing also described about McDuffie for everybody who's watched him is that he's physical. He likes to come up and hit. The same thing was said about Legarius Sneed, same thing that was said about Charvarius Ward when he was in Kansas City, was that he wasn't afraid to come up and tackle, and that is something that you have to be able to do to play for Steve Spagnuolo. And the next guy we know can tackle, and that is the Chiefs' second pick, who they got at number 30, and that is Purdue edge rusher George Karlaftis, a player that we spent a lot of time talking about during the pre-draft process.
Yeah, and it's been a unique process from our side with the discussions about George Karlaftis because, you're trying to gauge a valuation on him, and I think we kind of settled. I think he wound up in the top 25 in the KCSN draft guide, but we've had a lot of discourse about, where to slot him. Is he one of those – should he be clustered with, that – that group of four edge rushers that we kind of identified with Kayvon Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, Jermaine Johnson, should he kind of be his own tier? And I think he is kind of in his own tier. I think, you know, he may be a little bit a small departure away from those guys. But I think he's better than the next tier. I think he's almost a tier of his own. And, you know, you get a guy like that down at pick 30, I think that's just tremendous value. I think that's a really, really strong valuation on him. You're getting a guy with a great motor. You're getting a guy that's going to be able to play a lot of snaps. This team's going to need him to play a lot of snaps. I think he slots in immediately as a high snap count earner, a guy that's going to give you outstanding effort. And with all the improvements that the Chiefs made in the draft from the coverage perspective, some of those effort sacks are going to pop in too pretty quick too. Yeah. So, I mean, man, he slots in so well. And I think he's going to get a lot of snaps right off the jump.
He was a fun player to watch because there's so many different types of skill sets and types of players when you look at edge rusher and even within the draft and even within, you know, Chiefs Twitter and social media, following the types of players that people like. You have those bendy, super athletic guys that win with speed and win with athleticism. And the transition for those guys, I always feel like, is more difficult because they don't necessarily face the number of athletic tackles and offensive linemen in college that they do once they get to the NFL. Whereas a player like Karlaftis, and I think you brought up a great point about that word relentless that's used to describe him and some of those second effort sacks, where it's not necessarily a counter move as much as it is, he's got great spatial awareness to what's happening as he's rushing. He can feel where the quarterback is going and what he's trying to do. And those are where the majority of sacks actually come in the NFL, are the second effort, the counter move, or just being able to read what's happening as you're rushing. If a quarterback steps up, tries to leave the pocket, all of those things. But I remember talking about this, and I've shared this story before, talking with Tamba Ali about being, you know, at the time, and I can't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head, but it was something like, if you're an edge rusher in the NFL and you're successful 1% of the time on a pressure or a sack or whatever it is, you're one of the best in the league at what you do. And we talk about baseball being a game of failure where you go up there and hit 3 times out of 10, you're going to Hall of Fame. You go 1 time out of 100, 2 times out of 100 rushing the passer, you're going to be one of the best in the league at what you do. And so for a player like George Karlaftis, where you always see the effort playing through the echo of the whistle, he's a guy that you can peg as a starter. I mean, you could say it right now. He is going to start at day one. Coach Reed said that about both of these players. You know, how quickly are they going to play? And he's like, they're going to start the first round picks. That's what they do. And you look at the rest of the Chiefs roster at edge, and I talked about this a lot because it was something that they had to address. But you've got Frank Clark on one side. How many snaps is he going to get at this point in his career? He's been banged up playing through a lot of different things. But you got Frank, you got Karlaftis, but you've also got Mike Dana. You got Josh Kando, young player from last year. I know you guys have talked about his ceiling and his athleticism, what he might be able to do. And then Jonathan Woodard, Austin Edwards, and Malik Herring fighting for roster spots. And there's still a position where I wouldn't be totally surprised between now and the end of training camp if the Chiefs brought in some sort of veteran.
Hey, we haven't talked much about it, but the Chiefs still have a little bit of cap space here. Yeah. I mean, they might play in the veteran market here. You know, there's still some players available there, some players available maybe in the secondary too to add some veteran presence there. This could be a fun, again, you look at the totality of the roster in August, probably going to feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, when you look at that pass rushing situation, not that having Frank and then Karlaftis isn't great, you add a third guy into that mix that has had some production, that's had some success in the NFL, I think you're going to feel even that much better about what this defense can become. But again, as we go through this draft, there's two guys that are energy givers, physical players at both levels of the defense, and we haven't even got to the two guys that I'm most excited about in this draft on the defensive side. But let's switch to the one offensive player, the third pick for the Chiefs in this draft, wide receiver out of Western Michigan, guy Mel Kiper called the most underrated player overall, any position in the entire draft, in Sky Moore. You got to be excited about what Sky Moore can do in this offense.
I would have been excited if the Chiefs had taken him at pick 30. I mean, this is a guy that we've been really, really high on here at KC Sports Network. And I mean, we mocked him at pick 30 to the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. And the fact that the Chiefs were able to move back slightly and still be able to acquire a guy like Sky Moore, you know, I think with Tyreek Hill's absence, when you talk about fit, this guy makes so much sense. And Mike Borgonzi talked a little bit about, you know, how Andy Reid really likes guys that can kind of play a lot of different positions, a lot of versatility. You know, they're deviating a little bit more away from that traditional true X type receiver. Sky Moore is a very clear indication of that. He can do a little bit of everything. He can line up all over the field. He can even play a little bit of X, even though he's a smaller guy, and beat some press. But this is a guy with a versatile skill set, a guy that can line up all over the place, and a guy that can win in a lot of different areas. Now he's got the best quarterback in the world throwing to him. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about with Sky Moore.
And he knows how to run a slant.
Oh, yeah.
You're in a lot. When you watch the film of him, you watch the highlights that we've got of him, you see a lot of what Western Michigan did. And I think that's going to be the most exciting thing when you get to training camp is to see, you know, his route running, his footwork, the way that he can accelerate, the way that he kind of speeds up, slows down to create that separation where at Western Michigan, they did so many RPO. You guys joked about it. I went and watched. It's like, holy cow, he really does a lot of the bubble screen, short slant stuff that you would see. You know, you saw a lot of what Mecole Hardman did. Mm-hmm. Last year for the Chiefs. But the other thing, and there wasn't a ton of it from what I saw with the film that I was watching, but you see some of those intermediate routes, his ability to win downfield and high point a ball where it's not just bubble screens, it's not just stuff around the line of scrimmage that Western Michigan did a lot of, but you know, without studying their entire offense, they took enough shots with him down the field that showed they knew he could do a little bit more than just the stuff around the line of scrimmage. And that's what gets me excited is to see him at training camp in those one-on-one, you know, wide receiver DB drills. I think he's going to absolutely tear it apart when we get there based on what everyone is saying, what you guys have been saying for months. Mm-hmm. And Sky Moore, again, you're looking at the Chiefs wide receiver room right now. You got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who they brought in this offseason. You got Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith, Schuster is the top three guys plugged in there right now. And then you've got Sky Moore, you've got Josh Gordon, Cornell Powell, who was drafted last year, and then Darice Fountain, Justin Watson, Garrett Dieter is going to get a shot, Corey Coleman, Omar Bayless, Gary Jennings, Matthew Sexton, all those guys fighting for a roster spot. And again, another place where there's some veterans out there who may be in a position now where if they can get a good deal, which Brett Veach did a phenomenal job of this offseason, maybe bring another guy into that mix.
Yeah, I think the wide receiver room is looking great. And obviously, you know, losing Tyreek Hill, you're not replacing him one of one. But the Chiefs have compiled a lot of different skill sets. They're going to help him have success in a lot of different areas of the field. And Sky Moore, I think, can present just even more value there for this team because I think he fills in about anywhere you need him. I think they're going to find a very clear defined role for him in certain areas of the field. And he's going to win. He's going to have a lot of success. You talk about the RPO slant game. I mean, that's something Tyreek Hill, for instance, did a lot of, the glance, slant, RPO. Even just simply sitting into that kind of role, just that is going to be really valuable for this football team in year one. But I think there's just so much more that he's capable of doing to fit in. And he fits in beautifully with this group that's already sitting there. And who knows what they add beyond this. But I think the fit is perfect right now for where the Chiefs roster is at.
And the other thing that we're talking about, the first three picks for the Chiefs in this draft with Trent McDuffie, the cornerback, George Karlaftis, the edge rusher from Purdue, and then Sky Moore at wide receiver, you saw what happened and what's been happening over the last few years with some of the contracts. And we talked about roster composition all the time and positional versatility and all of those things, that cornerback, edge rusher, and wide receiver are three of those positions where huge contracts are being given out. And for the Chiefs to go in again into the prime of Patrick Mahomes' career, to have three from a positional financial standpoint to not have to overpay or not have to pay the veteran price to get a starting cornerback in free agency, a starting edge rusher in free agency, and then wide receiver. Christian Kirk got $37 million guaranteed, and they just got Sky Moore for what's going to be pennies on the dollar from a contract standpoint during that same stretch. And that can't be understated of what that's going to mean 2 years from now, 3 years from now, to be able to go maybe spend a lot of money in free agency on a couple of key pieces to try to win that third Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes at that point.
They played the board perfectly to get three players at three key positions of need, and they navigated it so perfectly. Trade ups, trade backs. I mean, just a beautiful negotiation of the board by Brett Veach to start this draft, and it only got better from there.
Beautiful. And now let's get into my favorite two picks in this draft. Because, again, those three, Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, and Sky Moore are going to contribute right away for the Chiefs. They are going to be the three guys that are probably talked about most when it comes to this draft as rookies. But for this draft to be considered like an all-time, and not to be throw words out there right now like that, but you've already said this is your favorite draft in the Brett Veach era.
It's not even close.
for this draft to be one of those drafts that we look back saying this was the foundation of the prime of Patrick Mahomes' career, I think the next two picks panning out and being as good as we hope they are right now is going to make the difference. Because again, McDuffie, Karloftis, Sky Moore, those guys, they're great players being praised by everybody. I think they were all like top 16 players on Pro Football Focus's board.
Yeah.
And that, you know, from an analytic standpoint, the way those guys look at it, this was tremendous value. But let's start with the fourth pick that the Chiefs got at number, I believe it was 62 overall in the second round. Brian Cook, the safety out of Cincinnati. His highlights, as we take a look right here, could not be more fun to watch. That is the exact kind of safety that I absolutely love watching play. He is a tone setter. He will come up and he will absolutely hit you. And you are going to remember every time that guy comes up and puts his hands on you.
Tone setter is the right word. Absolutely for Brian Cook, and he's a guy that's a sure tackler. It's not just that he's going in to try to come in for the kill shot. He is a sound, secure tackler, one of the best tackling safeties, one of the best tackling players in this entire class. And, you know, maybe doesn't have the same kind of physical athletic profile that some of the other guys do, but super smart football player, really assignment sound football player, and does his job. You know, we talk about the tackling. Like, he's going to arrive with bad intentions, but he's also going to make sure that he does his job when he arrives. And, you know, he's a guy that I think raises the floor a little bit of this draft, because, you know, he may not be the most dynamic player, but you're talking about a guy that fits really well into Steve Spagnuolo's scheme. He can play a lot of snaps very quickly. He can, you know, if there's been some inconsistencies tackling in the back end of the secondary, this is the opposite. This is the antithesis of that. This is a guy that's going to, more times than not, you know, make the easy play, make the simple play. That's really, really valuable when you're looking at the totality of that defense, when you're looking at the totality of this roster. You know, making simple plays, being good against the run, being sound against the run, being a sound player, being assignment sound, all those things have a ton of value when Patrick Mahomes is on the other side of that, you know, forcing other teams and putting a lot of pressure on other football teams. Is a very valuable thing when you've got such a unique player leading your offense.
I want to ask you specifically about this, because there have been points made on social media in that Brian Cook was coming in to take Daniel Sorensen's role, and that it's on paper the same position, but not necessarily from a skill set the same. So without, you know, prognosticate as best you can before these guys step on the field, what kind of player, what kind of difference are they getting in as far as how they could be used?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an apples to apples comparison with Daniel Sorensen, but what you are getting is a guy that can, you know, he can play a little bit in the box if you want. He can play in a too high structure. You might be able to get away with playing him in the middle field a little bit, but from a perspective of, you know, Daniel Sorensen was very trusted by Steve Spagnuolo because he was going to do what he was asked to do. He was going to stay assignment sound. Like, I think there are some characteristics from a football character perspective that are very similar between these two players. They're not the identical, you know, they're not identical players, and they weren't utilized the exact same way. But I think, you know, Steve Spagnuolo is going to come to trust Brian Cook very quickly, maybe even as early as this year. And I think that's a very valuable asset, especially considering how secure and sound of a player he is.
And he joins a safety room that we saw during free agency, picking up Justin Reed and giving him a nice deal after his career with the Houston Texans. And then Deion Bush coming over as another veteran who's got some experience coming over from the Chicago Bears. And then obviously joining Juan Thornhill. And then obviously Brian Cook, who we're talking about. And then Devin Key, Zane Anderson, and then Nazee Johnson, who we'll get to in a minute.
And special teams upside for Brian Cook as well, raising the floor of your special teams. And I think the Chiefs even talked about that in their press conferences this week. Brian Cook and the guy we're about to talk about also raising the floor on special teams.
Yeah, but again, you've got an enforcer and a guy that just, you're going to remember. And if you're a receiver in the AFC West or you're a tight end coming across the middle, he's going to let you know that he's there if he's out on the field based on what we saw in college. And hopefully you see that transition. And again, another point to make is, as much as we're talking about this draft class being special, those 10 guys in this draft class are all going to be able to go to rookie minicamp over the next couple of weeks, whenever that is for the Chiefs, and they're going to sit in a room together and they're going to look at each other saying, we have a chance to be a part of something really, really special and be a key reason that the foundation of this team and the success that we've seen in this golden age of Chiefs football that we are in the middle of right now, these guys are going to be a huge part of continuing that over the next 5 to 7 to 10 years. And again, the weekend couldn't have gone better. Brian Cook, a player that we're really, really excited about. And again, his highlights are a whole lot of fun. another player. The highlights are a whole lot of fun. My favorite player in this draft, saying it right now, Leo Chanel, linebacker from Wisconsin. Seeing Matty Lane's reaction when he was the pick live, when we were doing our live draft show, was special to watch. And I haven't thrown out the comparison yet. I want to see what you say about him, because I believe I heard you say this the other day, but it reminds me of one of my favorite players in the draft years ago, in the way that I think defenses could use these rush Sam linebackers. But as it relates to Leo Chanel and how he fits into this group right now, what are you expecting out of Leo Chanel?
Well, a guy that has a chance to contribute right away. I mean, we valued him as the 51st best player in this draft in the KCSN draft guide, and being able to get the value of a player like him, you know, the positional value, you can have some of the conversations about, because maybe he's not a guy that's going to play, you know, he's not going to be on the field the entirety of the game. You know, Nick Bolton's going to outsnap him more than likely, but you know, you're a guy that has a unique athletic profile that can play that Sam linebacker, can hold up, reduce down if you want, and set a good edge, but is just a physical player, a really, really good blitzer. It's going to be a great run blitzer. Can be any kind of blitz you want to run him on. I think he's going to have a lot of success, and he's got the mentality to do it. Yeah. He's going to set tones at the line of scrimmage. He wants to set tones at the line of scrimmage. Very quick trigger in the run game, quick to ID. You know, there's some issues in coverage, but the athletic profile intrigues you. You know, he's a guy that has the athleticism to recover.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not always going to ID things well in the passing game, but he's going to have the athleticism to recover.
In fairness, and I hear you guys say this, and I think sometimes people take it as you're being critical of a Sam linebacker in coverage. How many Sam linebackers in the NFL right now would you say that coverage is a strength or an asset to a defense?
Well, if he could cover, he goes in round one. So, I mean, there's that.
A handful?
I mean, there's just not a lot of guys that, I mean, if he's going to play a Sam, which I mean, I think you could move him around a little bit if he does develop as a coverage player too. And I think that's some of his ceiling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of guys like him with his kind of size, period, that one, move the way he does, and two, cover the way, you know, that his ceiling is now, you know, as he drove, and you kind of listen to him talking about his post-draft presser, like, I don't think the growth is done for him. You know, the growth isn't done for him as a player, and I think he does want to become better in coverage. And if he does, boy, the Chiefs are going to look really, really smart here in a few years.
The thing that jumped out, and you see this on the film when you're watching any of his highlights, because his highlights are a whole lot of fun to watch, but I don't know what you call it, but just the closing speed. When he is within 5 yards of a ball carrier, his ability to close that gap and bring that guy down, obviously you look at the physical specimen. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be one of the strongest guys on the field without knowing all of his, you know, bench reps and all these things. Like, he's a powerful player, and a lot of times you don't
necessarily... He might be a better athlete than Willie Gay, and that's saying something.
And the death row. Like the
death row, the baby. Death row on his arms.
Written down his arm. I don't know what game that was for. It was all the games.
The linebackers at Wisconsin called themselves death row.
That's amazing. I'm all here.
He's
for
all
it. I don't care if people make fun of it. All that matters is those three guys or those five guys, however many are in that room, believe in what they're doing. They're a unit. And you talk about the Chiefs linebacker unit right now with Willie Gay and with Nick Bolton and now Leo Chanel, along with some of the other guys they've got in the mix. And you're looking at the rest of that linebacker room. You've got Jermaine Carter, who they brought in from the Carolina Panthers, who has some experience. Elijah Lee, who's got some experience as a K-Stater and a Blue Springs kid who grew up going to Chiefs games, and then Shalit Calhoun, and then Darius Harris, who we've been talking about for years, is still there and has a chance. And so for Leo Chanel to enter that room, again, the thing that jumped out to me was whenever he's closing on a ball carrier, his ability to then bring that guy down when he gets within 5 yards, it just stood out, and it was special. And I don't know if that's a combination of being relentless and the athleticism, closing speed, whatever it is. He got a nose for the ball and a nose for making plays. And when you combine that with Brian Cook, who we just kind of, in a physical kind of similar way, a Carl Loftus, and his ability to play through the echo of the whistle, that is three guys at each level of the Chiefs defense now that are playing through the whistle, that are playing hard, and are known for being great tacklers.
Throw McDuffie into that too.
Yeah, and I mean, McDuffie on the outside. It they changed the identity of the Chiefs defense for the next decade, half decade at least. yep. based on these picks. And Leo Chenal, to me, is a big part of that. I think he's going to be an absolute fan favorite. I said that about Willie Gay when he was drafted because of the energy that he plays with. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we see Willie Gay get more comfortable with his assignments and what he's doing and maybe not having to think, he can react more. And it's a transition for all of the guys when they get to the NFL with so much mentally being put on them. The more comfortable that they get, the faster they play, you start to see that personality come out. And with the personalities they brought in and the physicality and all that, that is going to resonate at training camp. The way that Steve Spagnuolo and the defense gets after the offense at training camp, St. Joe is going to be a whole lot of fun to go up and watch this year.
The competition level at the linebacker position with Leo Chenal added as well. I mean, Willie Gay is going to get pushed even farther too. This is all good things for Chiefs Kingdom. And yes, the identity of this team changes. You know, Steve Spagnuolo, I think this is built in his image because teams, you know, he wants to earn the right to rush the passer. He wants his players to earn the right to rush the passer. This group helps that. This group helps, you know, be better on early downs against the run and then go from there. But I don't think that they're just run stoppers. Like, I mean, Leo Chenal looks like he should just be a run stopper, but the athletic profile gives you some confidence he's going to be able to do more than just be an early base down guy.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So here's the player comparison that I was thinking of. And it I haven't heard this. I think I heard you mention it as far as a Rush Sam. Because whenever I hear Rush Sam, I think Dante Hightower when he was drafted by the Patriots. Do you see, and I want to say impact and production, all of that kind of stuff, but just a guy that you can move around that necessarily doesn't mean he's going to be out in coverage. Dante Hightower isn't going to be out in coverage, but he can line up on the line of scrimmage. And it was described as Leo Chenal being the best blitzing linebacker in this draft. And so for a Sam who's as physical as he is, that can get after the quarterback. We talked about that closing speed. If he's coming downhill on you and he's within a couple yards, you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to bring you down. What do you think about the Dante Hightower, Leo Chenal kind of usage comparison?
I mean, there's some comparisons there for sure. And, I mean, I think just the density of both of those guys is something that really tells you, you know, that that Leo Chenal can definitely do some of the things that Dante Hightower is able to do at the line of scrimmage. That's a problem for teams. I think Dante Howard's obviously gotten a little bit bigger over time, but I mean, Leo Chenal's got just such an explosive profile, and he's got density to go with it. That's just really disruptive the way Dante Hightower can be at the line of scrimmage. So I think some of those early down comparisons make a lot of sense. I think he can recover better than Dante Hightower can. I think Hightower's a little bit longer than him, but the recovery ability with the athleticism, you know, even if he's guessing wrong, but he's guessing wrong fast,
yeah,
he can recover. And I think that's something that's pretty valuable too. Talk about special teams as well. Like, there's that raises his ceiling. If he's just a special teams player, you probably are getting the value out of him at 103 based on the kind of player density athleticism that he has.
All right, those are the first five draft picks. We're going through all 10 draft picks right here on this special draft episode, draft recap episode. Again, I'm BJ Kissel with Kent Swanson from the Holiday Distillery up in Weston, Missouri. It's about 45 minutes north, what is it, northwest of Kansas City in Overland Park where we're at. But special place. We're enjoying some Ben Holiday bourbon. Comes out May 21st. It's been sitting up in the Rick houses for the last 7 years, waiting to be unleashed to Kansas City. So we appreciate everybody at Holiday Distillery for taking care of us up here. And again, to recap the first five draft picks, all, and I apologize for the language. Here come, this is your warning. But when I see those five guys, especially Karloftis, Brian Cook, and Leo Chanel, I just picture you know, guys walking in and saying, we're here to fuck shit up. Like, we're just going to come in and start knocking guys around. And people talk about the Chiefs right now. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's high-flying, cute offense. Andy Reid being creative. These guys are going to come in and be like, they can be as cute as they want. You can call whatever they want over here, but you're going to feel us every minute that we're out on this field, and you're going to feel us the next day too. And I love it.
There's so many trends. That and there's so many boxes being checked by all these guys. It's so fascinating because I can't believe how the Chiefs were able to get young guys, most of them 21 right now, physical tone setters, sure tacklers, you know, strong, explosive profiles, and high football character, high effort, high intensity. Being able to check those three boxes with your first five picks the way that they were, I don't understand how all these guys fell so well to the Chiefs, but they did. And, I mean, the mentality of this entire draft class, 5-1 through 10, is unbelievable. Yeah. It has the makings of a special group of players.
And it's special not just because of the success and the talent and all of that, but just from an atmospheric standpoint of being at Arrowhead Stadium on a game day and knowing that Arrowhead was built because of the defense. Like, Arrowhead's mystique came from the early night. It was Derek Thomas. It was Neil Smith. That is where Arrowhead was born. And for these guys to come in knowing the kind of energy givers, the kind of plays that they make and the physicality they come with, these are going to be players that Chiefs Kingdom absolutely loves, not just watching on TV or from a distance, but when you're at Arrowhead and you're experiencing that noise and that energy, it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's go into the second group, the last five picks for the Chiefs in this draft. And the first one is a name that I didn't know a whole lot about. You guys were really excited about from the beginning. And I actually saw a tweet from Jim Nagy, director of the Senior Bowl, that said that the Chiefs' sixth pick in this draft, again, in the fourth round at number 133 overall, Josh Williams, cornerback out of Fayetteville State, actually had the fastest clocked speed by Zebra Technologies, which are the sensors the players wear during the Senior Bowl. The fastest player on the field at the Senior Bowl was the Chiefs' fourth round pick, Josh Williams.
Yeah, I mean, his long speed on his 40 time wasn't too bad either. He was in the low 4.5s for a guy that's 6'3", nearly 200 pounds. Like, this is a unique athletic physical profile. This is a guy that, you know, maybe Trent McDuffie doesn't have the typical length of a Steve Spagnuolo corner. Joshua Williams is a guy that can replace the length, physicality, size of a Charvarius Ward that just left in free agency for a big contract. Like, this kind of fits more close to the profile that we've typically seen Steve Spagnuolo employ. And boy, this is a unique athlete with high football character, high character period. Getting to listen to him talk a little bit about himself and the kind of man he is already as a young kid. Boy, there's a lot to get excited about with Joshua Williams out of Fayetteville State. Obviously, I think he's a guy that requires a little bit of development, but I think getting him at 135 is tremendous value. This is a guy that we've been talking about. We would have been happy with him in the third round. If you've listened to some of the stuff we've talked about with him in the last couple months of draft coverage.
Yep, he's joining that room. We've talked about it with that cornerback room with Trent McDuffie already, but joining Rashad Fenton. Again, there's Josh Williams, Luke Barku, and then Trent McDuffie, DeAndre Baker, and then Jalen Watson, who we'll get to here in a minute. But Again, 6'3", 200 pounds, fastest player in pads at the Senior Bowl, the last opportunity that those guys had. You go to the Shrine Bowl, which was a week before. They go to the Senior Bowl, which is kind of overlapped a little bit this year, but it's the last opportunity those guys to have to put the pads on to play actual football in front of scouts. And for a player from a smaller school to go out and show in that moment that he can stand up, that the athleticism translates, it's going to be huge for him, and he's going to be one of those players that's going to be fun to watch, and that you take a swing on a big talent, talk about special teams, mm-hmm. all of that. A guy who's 6'3", 200 pounds playing cornerback, very much Steve Spagnuolo-esque, but I know that those DB coaches are going to have a lot of fun with a talent that you can mold like a Josh Williams.
And that's the right way to phrase it, because you can't coach what he has. You can't coach the kind of mentality he has, but this is a coachable kid and a guy that should absorb all the wisdom he's about to get imparted onto him. And you like betting on guys like that. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing if Josh Williams can contribute in a real meaningful way sooner rather than later.
And let's move on to the next pick. Again, in the fifth round, I believe at number 145 overall, in Kentucky, right tackle Darian Kennard. And talking about guys you're willing to bet on at this point, anybody that Duke Manyweather from O-Line Masterminds works with, I am willing to bet on. And Chiefs fans, if that name sounds familiar, it's because it's the same guy who trained Creed Humphrey, same guy who trained Trey Smith, worked with Mitch Schwartz in the past, and now he's got Darian Kennard, basically the Chiefs center, the right guard, and maybe the right tackle of the future. We don't know Lucas Niang with his injury. It's going to be a competition. Right tackle is a position that we low-key talked about being really important for the Chiefs that not a lot of people were talking about if they could take a guy in the second or the third round. But the fact that they got a player like Darian Kennard in the fifth round that I believe gave up one sack in the SEC last year, absolutely crazy. What was your initial thoughts on Darian Kennard and how he fits with his skill set and what the Chiefs are trying to do up front?
If you had taken Darian Kennard in the third round, I would have been thrilled. I would have been absolutely thrilled. I think this is another guy that, I can't believe that the Chiefs were able to get this kind of value. He had a meniscus issue, and he didn't take surgery for it. Listen to him talk a little bit. After he was drafted, there's a meniscus that he's just trying to let heal instead of electing for surgery. Kennard, I think, there's the debate about, we had him as an interior offensive lineman in the KCSN draft guy. There's a little bit of debate about whether or not he's eventually going to have to kick inside. But Andy Reid's favorite guards are former tackles anyway. But I think he's a guy that can hold up and compete at that right tackle spot immediately. And you're talking about a guy in the fifth round. The Chiefs made a move up to make sure that they secured this guy, and he has the ability to contribute to that right and to compete in that right tackle competition right off the bat. And you shouldn't be talking about that in the fifth round like we are, but that's the truth. Austin Ryder had a very strong year. Lucas Niang had his moments, but he's coming off an injury that's pretty significant, and it's going to be difficult for him to recover quickly enough to be to compete. And if he does, good for him. That competition is going to bring a lot out of whoever winds up winning that right tackle job. And there's three guys now in the mix, I think, Darian Kennard included. I wouldn't be stunned if he's the starting right tackle for the Chiefs by the end of training camp.
And to have a guy like Andrew Wiley, who has a lot of experience, who's played multiple positions, and having a chance to be around Andrew Wiley, he is exactly the kind of guy. And this is what's crazy about this world and getting a chance to know some of these guys, is they're competing for jobs and the livelihood of supporting themselves and their families. But a player like Andrew Wiley is going to do everything he can to help Darian Kennard become a better player, even if that means, maybe he starts over him at some point or whatever that is. It is a very unique thing to get the right kind of guys in a locker room to understand how it all works and how much value that is to, you may help a guy become better and take a spot for you, but Andy Heck sees that. Mm-hmm. Eric Bieniemy, Matt Nagy now, who's back in Kansas City, and then obviously Andy Reid, they see how these guys are as teammates. And for Darian Kennard to come in here and go into that room with the tackles that we're looking at right now, you've got Lucas Niang coming back from the patellar tendon injury, which I had a chance to talk with Aaron Borgman last week about that, and that's not an easy injury for big guys to come back from. It's not that they can't, but it's a really difficult one to come back for. In fact, that he was injured late in the season, that's going to be something to pay attention to. And where does Darian Kennard start learning at training camp, because he's not going to necessarily take reps all over the place right off the bat. And it sounds like they're going to start him at right tackle. Mm-hmm. And you look at the right tackle depth chart, you got Lucas Niang, Andrew Wiley, Roderick Johnson as the three guys. And then over on the left side, for the Chiefs offensive line right now. Orlando Brown, obviously. Prince Tega.
Winoga,
thank you. And then Jaron Christian, who they signed, that's got a little bit of inexperience as well. So
good competition in that offensive line group. That's that tackle. There's a lot of interesting swings on some talent there. And Jaron Christian signing with the Chiefs this offseason as well. You know, there's some unique guys there, and they're going to try to develop who they can. And I think the competition is going to bring a lot of good things out of this group. And adding a guy like Darian Kinnard to that mix, man.
If you had a chance to go on social media and see the video of Darian Kinnard talking about after he was drafted, of just saying, "I'm going to play so angry,"
yeah,
of something to that effect. Like,
he thought he should have been drafted earlier, and I think he's right. He should have. Chiefs, the NFL's loss is the Chiefs' gain, and we're going to be looking back, I think, laughing. Because I think, Darian Kinnard, I know health is always a big thing with the most volatile sport in the world, but, I mean, I don't think Darian Kinnard's failing. Darian Kinnard will see his rookie contract through with the Chiefs, barring some injuries.
Yeah. It's also going to be fun for those guys to get a chance to see Patrick Mahomes up close and personal for the first time, because watching him throw a football and run this offense the way that they do, and you go out to practices as efficient as they are, the way that they run around, that's why they have rookie minicamp.
Yeah.
These guys are ready for OTAs, because once they get to OTAs and all the veterans are there, they don't want to slow down for these guys. And so it'll be fun to see those guys get an opportunity to see some professionals and some of the best at what they do in the world up close. And that's where, doesn't matter what position is, for Darian Kinnard and all these guys, Josh Williams, Leo Chanel, Brian Cook, Sky Moore, George Kalafdis, Trent McDuffie, for those guys to be around Travis Kelce and mm-hmm. to see the way that he goes about his business, the way that he approaches his craft. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They're coming into a system that is had a lot of success. Obviously, Andy Reid, one of the best coaches in NFL history. It's a great situation for them. Another guy it's a great situation for, another cornerback that was added with the Chiefs' first pick in the 7th round, and that was Jalen Watson, the cornerback out of Washington State. Another player, as soon as his name was called, you guys were so excited when it was called, not only because you knew the player, but because you were surprised that he was still there.
I bet he sticks. we talked about him a lot. I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about him and Joshua Williams as, potential swings as early as round three, I'm sorry. At the cornerback position, because that profile is unique. This is another long, athletic cornerback. Similar to what you saw with Joshua Williams, the Chiefs have kind of taken some swings on some of these profiles in the back end in day three of the NFL draft to try to fit Steve Spagnuolo's scheme. And they're continuing to take that numbers approach to try to add some unique physical profiles that kind of fit how they prefer to play the game, challenging with length outside, pressing, really making it difficult on receivers at the line of scrimmage and getting some help over the top with their safeties, really closing that kind of what they call the honey hole, from that too high structure and getting some length at the cornerback position, throwing numbers at the position. And I'm just so fascinated because, I would have been happy with Jalen Watson if they had taken him where Joshua Williams was drafted. Again, I'm thrilled with the value that the Chiefs have got, and that's why I'm so excited is, I think Jalen Watson's another guy that can get into the mix, and you'll be surprised. He might stick as a 7th round pick to get that kind of value down there at 7, that kind of swing on that profile, that football character, that off-field character. And Jalen Watson, special.
Yeah, and without knowing how he's going to react to coming into an NFL environment, it's going to be the biggest difference for these guys. And it doesn't matter. And Coach Reed will tell these guys, once they show up, it doesn't matter where you were drafted.
Mm-hmm.
You come in here and you show that you can work and that you learn the defense and that you can be trusted to understand all the different schemes and the responsibilities and the stuff that they throw at these guys. There's so much more mentally to mm-hmm. the game of the way that it's played at this level that it's a lot of times it's not necessarily the physical stuff mm-hmm. that is the reason why a guy has success or doesn't, but that first couple of days of rookie minicamp, you see the rookies just this deer in the headlights look because they're getting so much mentally thrown at them, and they're trying to process and spit it back out and have that translate to the field and still play with the looseness and the confidence that put him in this position to get this opportunity. But for a guy like Jalen Watson to go to rookie minicamp and to go to the OTAs and to go then to training camp, his ability to retain that information and stand up in front of his teammates in those defensive back meetings rooms when he's quizzed on a question, to be able to answer those questions and be confident in what he's asking to do will be the determining factor of whether or not he makes this team. Because from a physical standpoint, for Dave Tobe to use that guy on special teams, long, fast, athletic cornerback, it's exactly what you want in those. The difference is going to be, can he mentally understand the responsibilities, as well as some veterans or some guys who've been in the league who may be and are right now further along mentally at that position. So it's really a game of catch-up on the mental side at this point for a player like Jalen Watson.
How quickly can you get back to playing with freedom? Is always the big question for some of these guys, and it's all these rookies. You know, the guys are able to get, you know, get it picked up on the mental side and start playing again with the kind of freedom that they had at the collegiate level. That's going to be a big test for all these guys, and it's going to be a determining factor for some of these day three swings that the Chiefs have taken. But Jalen Watson, man, he's a guy that he's going to have a long leash, I think. You know, I think he's a guy that's going to get a lot of opportunities to prove himself, and you know, the Chiefs will try to stash him if they can't because this is the kind of talent and the kind of profile that is very much coveted by C. Spagnuolo. And if you can hold on and give him enough time, and maybe he just picks it up immediately. But, you know, if you give him time to develop, this could be a guy that can contribute in a very substantial way at the cornerback position for this team. And being able to do that, you know, at the back of the draft.
It's the craziest part of all this. We're talking about you could just take what you just said and think back. This is the eighth pick for the Chiefs in this draft, and a guy in the seventh round that we're talking about in this kind of way. And you could do this every year. You can have the hope, and you can convince yourself that the best version of every player that you, and every team in the league, is doing this. I just feel like with the amount of work that you guys put into this draft, and as straightforward and honest as you guys have been over the years about some of the drafts in the past that you didn't like, and you were very upfront about that from the beginning, and that for you to be this high on guys in the seventh round, and we're about to get to probably your favorite pick on Saturday, which I can tell just by looking at you, you're excited to talk about the next one. But for Jalen Watson, the cornerback out of Washington State, to have that high of praise, again, as the first pick for the Chiefs in the seventh round, the eighth pick overall in this draft, again, hitting on a guy like Jalen Watson, and for him 3-4 years from now to be somewhat of a contributor in some fat, doesn't mean he has to be a starting defensive back, but just the fourth corner who's a very good special teams player. Again, that's going to be the difference of what makes this draft legendary in terms of the way that we're discussing it right now. And we don't use those terms lightly. But let's move on to the ninth pick in this draft for the Chiefs, again, in the seventh round. And that is Rutgers running back Isaiah Pacheco. As soon as his name was called, you and Maddie lost your minds. And not just because we interviewed him at the Senior Bowl, or excuse me, at the Shrine Bowl, and we'll get to that in a minute, but what was the reason you were so excited about bringing Isaiah Pacheco into the Chiefs running backs room?
Well, part of it is that exposure at the East-West Shrine Bowl got us excited, and you know, there's more to him than what you maybe saw at Rutgers, because I mean, that Rutgers situation was a little tricky for him. And I think he, you know, he showed himself extremely well in Vegas at the Shrine Bowl. He had more juice than I thought he would, thought he did on tape, you know, and maybe some of the poor blocking was, you know, he was getting, but you know, his ability to get to the edge, burst down the sidelines, the athletic, you know, profile was a little bit better than I anticipated. And you saw that at the NFL Combine too, when he ran sub 4.440, he's one of the fastest running backs at the NFL Combine, but the football character is off the charts too. You talk to some of the, you know, I talked to Owen Reese, who's in personnel with the East-West Shrine Bowl, and he says, you know, he's talking about the Michigan game. I think it was the Michigan game, and they're getting beat bad, and he's just out there competing in the fourth quarter like, you know, like his life depends on it. And you show the pass protection ability. This is a guy that has the frame to be a good pass protector and the mentality to be a good pass protector. You talk, I mean, you hear some of the interviews we have with him. He loves to pass protect.
Yeah, let's just throw to that interview right now, because again, we'll give a little context afterwards, but this is Isaiah Pacheco, and when Maddie Lane had a chance to sit down with him out at the East-West Shrine Bowl in Las Vegas back in January, asking him what his favorite play from the previous season was.
Yes, you know, so Illinois' game, it's fourth and like five or six or so. We're going for it on the 20, I believe so, and it's a tie game, or we're down or so. It's four down front, running a six-man protection. The quarterback, the line gives me a four down front with their hands, and you know the mic point's already set, so I know I have the Sam, the corner, the strong safety in the corner. So I'm looking inside out and kind of step up and set my feet, and seeing the quarter, the cat blitz come, and I picked it up immediately and, you know, ran the guy through the ground, and, you know, was able, the quarterback is a freshman also. They brought him in He came in early and he was able to complete the pass. And, you know, that was a great point of the game where the momentum switched.
So for a player to say his favorite play is a pass blocking ray, pass pro rep, tells you, I think, everything you need to know about Isaiah Pacheco and his football character.
And his ability to stick on the football field and on the team. I think that these are positive indicators when you put everything together, the kind of football character, the kind of character he has, willingness, physicality, in pass protection. You know, we're talking to Jeff on day three of the draft, Jeff Allen hanging out with us at Kingdom Bar and Grill. And, you know, he's saying, you know, the guys that pass protect, you want to block harder for when they get the ball in the run game. And, you know, this is a culture kind of guy. If you've got the kind of mentality, you hear him saying, you know, he's ready to take a grown man's job. That was one of the quotes of the entire weekend from any NFL team, let alone the Chiefs picks. He's ready to go out and take a grown man's job, and he's got the kind of mentality to do it. And he's got some physical talents that I think can really present themselves on the field too. More juice than the Chiefs have at the running back position right now. When you compare to Ronald Jones and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's got some long speed and some explosive playability there too.
I think it's going to be a fun sub-storyline at training camp, because training camp, there's 87,000 storylines that everybody's following, but their third running back position, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is going to make the team. Like, he's going to be in the mix. Obviously, Ronald Jones is going to be in the mix. But that third running back spot between Isaiah Pacheco and Derek Gore showed some flashes when he got an opportunity to play a little bit. And we're not going to sit here and say that Isaiah Pacheco is going to be, you know, competing with Clyde and with Rojo right now for that starting spot. But that third running back spot, who's going to earn that between him and Derek Gore, is going to be something that we talk about when we get closer to training camp. But we just, you know, kind of teased a little bit of that Isaiah Pacheco interview from the East-West Shrine Bowl, again, in Las Vegas. If you go to our YouTube channel, go onto YouTube, search KC Sports Network, and you can find not just that, the rest of that interview, but all of our draft content and all of our other shows. There's a ton of stuff there, but really enjoyed that interview with Isaiah Pacheco and going through and just hearing the way that he talks about the game. And I love what you said about football character. And I used to This was one of the questions I used to ask, you know, Brett Veach, and before that was John Dorsey, was how do you figure out the difference between a guy who loves football and a guy who loves the fact that he's really good at football and what that does for him? Because there's a lot of people, especially at college, that have a lot of success in college because they're the man and they're really, really good. Doesn't necessarily mean they love the game. And I think that with this draft class, you have a lot of guys that just love the game. Andy Reid would be coaching football if he didn't get paid for it. He just loves the game, and that kind of be coaching high school football, whatever it is, trying to get to the highest level of what he does. But it's because he loves the sport. He loves what the game does for him. And from an intrinsic kind of standpoint, and Isaiah Pacheco, when you watch that interview and you hear him talk about the game, he is one of those guys that loves the game of football and loves that he gets to go out there and play it, not necessarily all the other stuff that comes along with it.
100%. And I think, again, that raises his floor, and that raises the floor of this draft too. You're talking about a seventh round pick, and we're sitting here having all these discussions about a seventh round pick that ran a sub 4.440. That shows immense ability as a pass protector. That's a guy that you're probably going to find a role on special teams for. I mean, and hitting on guys in the seventh round that are making the roster is a big deal. I don't think people realize that all the time is when you're talking about some of these draft picks. The reason we're so excited is because, you know, Isaiah Pacheco has some raw ability, some real ability as a pass protector, as a runner with some long speed. But I think you're looking at guys that are continuing hitting on draft picks this late in the draft. These are the kind of guys you bet on at the end of the draft. And so, adding, you know, continuing to raise the floor of this team, to raise the floor of this draft class, is a massive, massive win. I don't know, you know, Brett Veach made comments about, hey, you know, there's gonna be a 1,000-yard rusher that's drafted in the seventh round this year. I don't know if it's gonna be Isaiah Pacheco, but he doesn't have to have a 1,000-yard, you know, season to be a huge win for this football team. And maybe he winds up being that guy, but just having this kind of kid on your roster for the next four seasons is a ginormous win. And I think there's just so many ginormous wins in this draft class similar to him.
I'm going to say that Brett Veach was talking about Isaiah Pacheco when he said that. He put it out there, and he's the one who put it on the kid.
Why not?
Good luck, Isaiah.
Yeah.
Especially walking into that running back's room where Clyde and Ronald Jones are staring at him like, you're the 1,000-yard guy? And he's like, I'm here to take your grown man job.
I'm here to take a grown man's job.
I am here for all of that competition and all coming from a good place because, you know, Andy Reid and Bieniemy and all those guys will keep it all together the way that they are supposed to. But let's get to the final pick, the 10th and final pick for the Chiefs from their 2022 NFL draft class. And that was a safety out of Marshall, Nazee Johnson. What, now that we've had a little bit of time to kind of digest this pick, what is it that you like about the Chiefs' final pick, Nazee Johnson?
He's probably the guy I knew the least about heading into this draft. And, you know, I got a chance to watch him a little bit more yesterday. And I think the Chiefs, I can't remember which scout exactly. It might have been Pat Sperduto, I'm not sure. One of the scouts was talking about his ability in the slot. You know, they were impressed with some of his coverage in the slot. And when you look at the athletic profile that he possesses, this is another really good athletic profile that the Chiefs drafted at the bottom of their draft. Guy that maybe can operate a little bit in the slot as a slot corner potentially, but has that safety ability as well. So I think that's what you're kind of looking for, is that they're just continuing to take swings on guys in the back end because they're trying to find some good value. And betting on the athletic profile that Nazee Johnson has is not a bad thing, especially since you kind of saw some ball skills. You saw some ball production out of him a little bit at Marshall. I got to see him make a few plays on the football. And yeah, a little bit of versatility too. I think he has the long speed to, you know, to hang maybe if you want to, you know, stick him single high, but he can, you know, go down into the slot and cover some receivers as well from there. So, you know, I think it's a smart play. And again, we're going to continue to hammer on it. Special teams value.
Yeah.
The floor on some of these guys is raised, and that makes this entire draft class all that much more valuable. And I think this is a guy that could potentially earn a spot as, you know, as a gunner on special teams in a lot of different ways. All these guys have a path to success, a path to making this roster, a path to being a cost-controlled asset for this football team for the next 4 years.
Yeah, and you could see, looking back now, we look at all 10 picks as a whole, 3 on the offensive side with Sky Moore, Darian Kennard, and Isaiah Pacheco, but then 7 defensive players, and of those 7, 5 of those are defensive backs. That's Trent McDuffie, Brian Cook, Josh Williams, Jalen Watson, and Nazee Johnson. And that, I like what you said about special teams. You add 5 defensive backs in this draft class, and then the other 2 who aren't would be George Karloftis and Leo Chanel, my favorite player in this draft. And so there was a concerted effort to add a lot of young talent to the Chiefs' defensive backfield, and that almost a third of that defensive back room right now are going to be players out of this draft class that are long, athletic, and have those athletic profiles that you say that you've been talking about, not just over the last 3 days, but throughout this entire draft process, that it's an area that was obviously important to the Chiefs to bring in some young talent, and they absolutely did that.
Yeah, I don't know if I anticipated half of their draft class to be in the defensive backfield, but they got the right guys. They definitely got the right guys, in my opinion. And, you know, I think you're going to see them, you know, get some real production and some surprise production out of some of these guys. I think a couple of these players that they've drafted in the defensive backfield are going to outplay their draft slot, because I think they're better players than their draft slot anyway. That's why we've been so excited about this draft. We are far from homers when it comes to our opinions on what the Chiefs have done in the draft in the past. I mean, we've disagreed with a lot of the picks. There's not a lot of disagreement happening this year. They've got high football character, which is just obvious every time you put on the tape. They got unique physical profiles. They've got, you know, a lot of unique different talents in areas of need too. Like, I'm stunned at how well this board has fallen for the Chiefs all 3 days. It's impressive, and it's a huge credit to that staff and to Brett Veach.
Big winners of the weekend, obviously the Kansas City Chiefs. All of the metrics that are out there, Warren Sharp put out his Sharp analysis of, you know, this algorithm of formula of value and whatever it is, and the Chiefs were in the top 3. Of value gotten in this draft. So no doubt that the Chiefs got the right guys in this draft, and the board fell to them in a very, very beautiful way. And Kent, to be honest, because you guys won't pat yourselves on the back too much, it is obvious that the right guys with KCSN and following all of their content. I want to say our, their content throughout the NFL draft over the past few months. Starting back in January, we were out there for the AFC Championship game. We were not in Kansas City. We were out in Vegas trying to do a live show from a bar out in Vegas because you guys were so into the draft. Going back to the end of January, you guys were already on it. You knew these players. We sat down. We talked with a lot of these guys. And like I said, you've got that full interview with Isaiah Pacheco. It was a whole lot of fun to get that one. But you guys absolutely crushed the content leading up to the draft. And if you're listening to this podcast, go back and listen. We got about a 20-25 minute show on every one of the Chiefs draft picks on Thursday and Friday, and a recap episode yesterday. And you will hear these names, and you will hear guys that they ended up drafting after the fact that they were talking about beforehand. But from a standpoint of KC Sports Network, this has been a phenomenal stretch of days. The most engagement, all the numbers are absolutely through the roof. We surpassed 1 million downloads in year one. We surpassed 1 million video views on YouTube about 12 hours later after hitting 1 million on the podcast downloads. Social media, Scott Ward has been absolutely crushing it. And so I just want to say thank you to you and Craig and Maddie will listen to it after the fact, but you guys absolutely crush the content, and you're creating something very, very unique for Chiefs fans that can do 15 hours of live draft content that was all centered around the Kansas City Chiefs, and we had a hell of a lot of fun doing it.
Labor of love, man, and it's been fun doing cool things with friends here at KC Sports Network, and we love doing it, and we can't wait for next year. I mean, the air is only pointing up, and we're not even a year into KC Sports Network. Can't wait to see what year two brings.
And it's because of people like Holiday Distillery and companies that are supporting what we're doing that make all of this possible. So again, the Ben Holiday Bourbon has been aging the last 7 years in the Rick House. Like I said, we've done this tour. Me and you have done it 3 or 4 different times since coming up here. But if you have a chance to get away, especially on a spring day, they've got live music on the weekends up at the event center. It's just a really, really cool place and a beautiful place to come and hang out. And you've got the Ben Holiday Bourbon coming out May 21st. So a special thank you to everyone at Holiday Distillery for taking care of us. And we appreciate everybody for listening to this episode. And I can tell you, if you listen to this one, it's going to be a few days without content. We're getting the KCSN. Everybody's getting a few days. Tucker's going to the Bahamas. My wife and I are going on a trip. Everybody else is going to sleep for a few days because these guys have absolutely crushed the content. And we will be back at the end of the week with some more content. But thank you all for listening. Thank you for your support. And as Kent said, we are just getting started and the arrow is going up. We can't wait to add more things, do more cool stuff with our pals. And yeah, we appreciate your support, and we'll see you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.